Today on the Pure Sweat Basketball Show.
But when push comes to shove, if you don't have something strong to fall back on, which is your culture, it's hard to be successful.
Maybe I led you to believe it was easy when it wasn't. Maybe I made you think my highlights started at the free throw line and not in the gym.
Let's eliminate the will to win and think about the will to prepare to win.
That's how winning is done.
It's about being a great teammate. It's about being accountable to one another. It's about being tough. It's about doing the right things for each other, but it's about doing it every day.
Hi, this is Jay Billis of ESPN. You're listening to the Pure Sweat Basketball Show. I'm sweating already.
Thank you for listening to the show that is truly committed to raising the game by making every episode a micro clinic. I'm your host, Alan Stein. Today's show is brought to you by Dr. Dish, the only shooting machine that we endorse at Pure Sweat. In today's episode, I catch up with the new associate head coach at UConn, my longtime friend and mentor, Rafael Chilias. But before we jump in, did you know that Crossover makes film sessions easy and efficient by organizing your video clips for you? You can easily share clipped film with everyone in your program on any mobile device. Visit crossover.com/puresweat to let them help you be more productive in the film room. And have you seen the new puresweatbasketball.com? We gave ourselves a facelift. I'd love for you to check it out and sign up for The Drop, our weekly newsletter that gives you everything you need to raise your game. And if you sign up now, you'll receive a series of 6 free webinars on how to develop a winning culture and successful program. And check out my new basketball performance course and basketball performance workout. These programs are a must-have for youth and high school coaches that want to maximize their team's off-season development. So please visit PureSweatBasketball.com. All right, let's jump in with Coach Rafael Chilias. Coach, what would you say are the most important pillars to building a winning and championship-level culture?
The most important pillar by far is what goes in that locker room. You win before you ever get on the court. And you have to build a culture where there's great leadership on the team and leadership above the team with the coaches, and there's a synergy between the two. And if you don't do that, you really can't build what you think you can build on the court. You might win some games, but when push comes to shove, if you don't have something strong to fall back on, which is your culture, it's hard to be successful.
Yeah. Now, I've known you for a long time, and you're brilliant in so many different areas of the game. But your ability to build relationships and recruit wonderful young men is unparalleled. What do you think's the key to your success at being able to do that?
The key to success is being authentic. You know, I always tell people, you know, every kid wants to be coached, whether they know it or not. And in the process of recruiting a kid, you have to be able to tell them when they don't play well, what they do well. They hear what they do well all the time from everyone else, especially in the AAU culture, right? But kids really respect you more when you tell them that you're good, but you could be way better if you do this.
Yeah.
And just to be authentic and be yourself, too many people call and recruit kids and they're going off someone else's script.
Yeah.
You know, and the biggest deal is people could tell kids are like dogs.
Yeah.
You know, they know what's real and what's not.
Yep. So you've learned to trust your judgment, because I think one of the coolest stories I've ever heard is how you accidentally stumbled upon our mutual friend Markel Fultz. Can you give us that story? That's phenomenal.
Yeah, you know, I just happened to be back in the D.C. area to see another kid somewhere else. And I always check when I'm home to see if DeMatha is playing or a practice or anything. And the varsity had a game, but I showed up there and I'm early and JV's playing. I'm looking at this 5'9" kid run around with big hands, big feet, long arms. He's playing every position and he's doing it with joy, no fighting the coach and none of that stuff. And by the time halftime came, I'm looking at him saying, if this kid grows, he's going to be an NBA All-Star, and that's what he became.
Yeah, it's amazing. And I remember one of the things I thought was so impressive was geographically, you were as far away from DeMatha as you could get unless you lived in Alaska, and yet you spent more time in our gym at DeMatha than any other coach on the planet. And I know that was one of the major reasons that Markel wanted to come and play for you guys. I mean, just talk about that commitment, because it's got to be hard as a college coach to put that much time in and then not get a player.
Absolutely. And, you know, I tell people recruiting is a lot like hunting lions. You know, lions hunt and they don't kill very often. But when they do, it's a big, fat, juicy meal usually.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing with recruiting. You just have to hang in there. And if you're recruiting the right person, then the right player mixed with the right person.
Yep.
And you miss, you don't feel great about it, but you feel better because you know you were at the right kid. But him, from the first time I saw him, I said, we got to roll the dice. And, in fact, one story that really got Markel was in the Pac-12, when you travel you know, we were at Cal and Stanford and usually stay.
Yeah.
And we had played Stanford and we were going to play Cal 2 days later and we're in California. And DeMatha happened to be playing in Phoenix.
Oh, yeah.
And I just went to the coach and said, I'm telling you, I think this will go a long way with this kid if we just take a private flight down there, see him play, and come right back and be at the hotel with our guys for film that night. And make sure that Markel knows that's what we did.
Yeah.
And we did that, and that's furthered in his mind, man, they're really committed to me as a player and as a person that they would take time on a road trip to fly down here, see me, and then get back and be with the team the same night.
I love that. Now, I don't want this to be the Markel Fultz story, but you've had private insight to him. Talk about his freshman year and some of the things that he did during unseen hours that most people aren't privy to, which is why he's going to be successful at the next level.
His total 100% commitment into being a better player. He is, I say it all the time, he might be the number one, number two draft pick, but he still trains like he's number 300 in the country.
Mm.
You know, he watches film, unbelievable amount of film, and he's not just watching film himself. He watches film of good players and adds those things to his game. What he also does, he spends an inordinate amount of time in the gym. He doesn't go out.
Yep.
You know, he's all about making himself a better player. Now, he's on social media a lot, shooting all those trick shots and everything.
Yeah.
He's great with it. But before or after those trick shots, he's spending a lot of time working on his game and working hard at it.
He's putting real work in.
Yeah.
Now, you're absolutely one of the top assistant coaches in the game. What goes into being a great assistant? What do you consider your number one role?
My number one role is to do what my boss needs me to do. And I think at this level,
true servant leader.
Yeah, in every level, you have to make your boss better. And you have to challenge them. And not to say I know everything, but when you know something and you have a strength, never be afraid to push your boss in that area, because we're all human. We all have our blind spots.
Of course.
And sometimes they don't know theirs, or sometimes they do. And it's your job as the assistant to make them stronger where they're weaker, and where they're already strong, to make them the best. And I think that's the number one key to be a good assistant.
Without question. Now, you have so much experience with so many talented players and coaches. Your basketball resume is unparalleled. If you could go back to your first year of coaching and give yourself a piece of advice, what would you tell yourself?
To know that kids between 13 and 24, their brain doesn't work the same way we do. And you have to repeat, repeat, repeat. You have to teach them like you never taught them before every day. And then you have to have the patience to help them develop, you know. We live in a society where everyone wants to go through the fast lane, there's express at the grocery store, there's fast food. You have to be able to put somebody in a slow cooker also.
Yeah.
Sometimes you got to take a roast a pig for 18 hours before you can eat it. It'll be worth the wait. And that's what we have to instill in kids and the way we teach. But I think also to teach them that you're not going to arrive tomorrow.
Right.
You know, but if we do everything today and the day before and tomorrow and the day after that, you're going to arrive at some point.
For sure. And we've talked at length before that repetition's not punishment. Repetition's how you get good at anything. It's the oldest form of learning and will always be.
No question about it. If, go back and try to figure out a trigonometry question right now. It's going to be kind of hard because you don't work on it every day.
Well, that's it for us, folks. Thanks so much for listening. I hope we helped you raise your game. We want to thank our partners at Dr. Dish for uplifting basketball training with their groundbreaking shooting machines. Check out drdishbasketball.com for more. And don't forget to take a peek at our new website at puresweatbasketball.com. All right, let's get back in the gym.